livezone.org.
Last night, got a feeling that something ain't right. Gotta hear the latest news of the day. What crazy thing did our president say? There's commies to the left of me, Nazis to the right. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you. And the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
A lovely day.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. You are listening to the Justice and Drew Show here on Twin Cities News Talk. Obviously, I am neither Justice nor Drew. I am Brian McDaniel from the Wrong About Everything podcast, and I am going to be guest hosting this show Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. Today, my lovely and talented guest host, Max Reimer from Kip and Max Save the World, is in studio. How you doing?
Lovely and talented.
Yeah, you're both things.
Thank you.
Don't let anyone tell you different.
Such an honor to be guest hosting this morning with you, Brian McDaniel.
And we have Brianne in the booth who's going to be helping us out all week.
Speaking of lovely and talented.
Yeah, don't get ahead of yourself.
It's with her, it's more and or.
Yeah,
so, you know,
it's never both.
It's never both.
Max and I are fresh off a closing argument last week as well.
Yes, yes. We hosted that bad boy. And we talked about a lot of things. Last week was an interesting week.
It was a big week. Now, we're obviously, today is, hey, happy July, everybody.
Yeah, new month, new me.
New month, new me. June gave us, especially the end of June, gave us more than enough to talk about. This week, hopefully, knock on wood, it's going to be a little bit quieter as we are tumbling towards Independence Day on Thursday. But, certainly it was rip-roaring news a week. Before we get to that, I want to give a little bit of a roadmap for today. Starting off, in the 7 o'clock hour, we're gonna have lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien back on the show.
I'm excited to meet him in person.
Yeah,
I've not met Jeff in person, but I've always appreciated his segments on the radio. And he's got a lot to talk about, too, with these Supreme Court rules.
Yeah. So, he was great. He was on the show on Friday, oddly enough, discussing these topics. But there's a couple things that they did not get to, and I wanted to give it a little bit more of a deeper dive.
Okay.
So hopefully everyone will appreciate that. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we have a good friend of mine, comedian Ali Sultan, who is very well known to me and Brian Miller, who's on the show, Corey Adam was on the show. He is somebody who is really rocketing to quite the national reputation, and he is a super funny guy and a good guy, and I want to make sure that everybody learns a little bit about him so that they can have something fun to listen to while they're grilling their hot dogs. I don't know, though. It's storming right now.
Yeah, it was crazy. And in fact, trying to get my appropriate amount of sleep last night in preparation for the show, I thought the second coming of Jesus Christ was happening last night because it was loud thunder.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous. I think it's supposed to be pretty stormy and hot this week. But you have kids that are younger than mine, so when I went to bed last night, I was allowed to be left alone and get down a decent hour.
There
was like a strobe light, coming in through the window with all the lightning, and there were some very, very, very big booms. Unfortunately, yes. My kids are a little older, so I didn't have anyone running into the bedroom scared other than the dog. But might have been a little different at your house. Let you know a little bit about the rest of the week tomorrow from the Wrong About Everything podcast and many other things. Amy Koch will be in a booth with me. We will also have in studio with me. We also will have Rob Strauser and Brian Strauser and Rob Dorr from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus coming in and talking a little bit about what the gun buybacks that seem to be so popular with the Democrats right now running for president really means. We're also going to have State Representative Jim Nash in talking about some DFL fumbles and kerfuffles that have happened in the last week. On Wednesday, I'll be in studio with Americans for Prosperity's own Jason Flores, comedian Corey Adam, and we're going to talk a little Twins, I think.
Ooh.
Because, you know, it's July 3rd, July 4th. What's more American than baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet?
Pretty stacked week for you, Brian.
Yeah, no, lots of fun.
It should be a lot of fun. Today in particular, I think, should be a lot of fun.
And we want you to join in on the fun, so please call in at 651-989-5855. We'd love to take your calls on any of the topics that we are getting to. And, you know, if you have an interesting topic of your own, we want to hear it.
Do people work this week?
You know, I mean, some do, but, you know, there's a lot of people that, I mean, I noticed even on Friday that the roads were significantly clearer than they should have been.
Yeah, I've noticed the same thing. And with Minnesota, it's kind of a hit or miss thing, but I really tend to think, I'm hopeful that people are on vacation today and are tuned in this morning, prepping for the day and prepping for maybe the grilling that's going to happen later on today or whatever activities they have planned.
Well, we're in Minnesota. We are resourceful. Just drag that grill into the garage and you're good to go.
That's right. Yeah, we're doing it in the midst of a February winter when it's negative 40 degrees out.
Well, we are due for our first break, so we will catch you on the other side talking a little bit about Trump in North Korea. But you're listening to the Justice and Drew Show here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5
FM.
Good morning. Welcome back to a dark and stormy Monday here on the Justice and Drew Show. I am Brian McDaniel from the Wrong About Everything podcast. I'm joined in studio by Max Reimer from Kip and Max Save the World.
Hello.
We have Brianne in the booth, and you're listening to us on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and or 103.5 FM. You know what? You can also catch us anywhere on the iHeartRadio app. So please listen to us all week, and John and Drew, when they come back, I'm not sure if they're back on Friday or if they're coming back on Monday, but certainly make sure to catch up on everything you have missed on the website.
Live on Monday.
Giddy up. So the president, once again, you know what? Love Trump, hate Trump. He is full of surprises. And on Sunday, President Trump became the first sitting American commander-in-chief to set foot in North Korea when he met Kim Jong-un at the DMZ.
Yes.
So, you know, of course, obviously, reaction to this move, you know, is very much falling along partisan lines, where some people are saying that this is a historic, you know, statement, something that certainly is bringing us closer to peace on the Korean Peninsula and further denuclearization, where, of course, Trump derangement syndrome being what it is, some people are saying he's appeasing a dictator. He is elevating a murderer.
Right. Or at least damaging. It's just a photo op. I've heard that too. There is, beyond just appeasement or beyond anything nefarious, that this means nothing. It's just a photo opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, and I think it's something that you know. Anyone who has listened to me on the podcast or on this show knows I'm not always a staunch defender of the president. But one area that I give him pretty consistent high marks has been North Korea. So many people are saying, well, you know, we're appeasing a dictator. He's elevating him. But, you know, we are so much closer to denuclearization of the peninsula than we have been at any point in time since the Korean War, that I really want to see how this plays out.
Well, and as of this morning now, too, you come to find out that because a lot of people had asked, okay, what was the promise? What did they talk about? And it sounds like denuclearization talks have resumed between South Korea, North Korea, and the United States. And listen, if it's just a photo op, there is no way South Korea would join them in these
talks. Absolutely. And that was absolutely going to be my next point, is that for everybody who says, you know, this is just Trump being Trump, you know, elevating a murderer, all these, South Korea is extraordinarily appreciative of this. So, you know, when you read the article, their President Kim is not only appreciative, he's part of these talks.
Yes.
And I think that is, you know, certainly shows that President Trump is doing his job as a facilitator for peace. Ultimately, it might not just be completely up to the United States of America, and nor should it be. This is something that should be worked out between North Korea and South Korea, and the discussions that are happening are only happening but for President Trump's intervention.
Right, and I know that we like to talk about what are the implications if North Korea gets nuclear power and what that actually means for the United States, but South Korea is the most immediate benefactor from a non-nuclearized North Korea. I think we forget about the history between North and South Korea because the implications for us, they're big. There's no doubt about it. It's big. But the implications for South Korea is existence or non-existence, potentially. So the fact that they're joining in these conversations should give our hearts some kind of rest about what it actually means and what's actually happening.
Well, and, you know, you say give our hearts some rest. The other thing to remember, too, is that, you know, we have not lifted our sanctions.
Nothing has changed.
They're still there. So for everyone who says, well, North Korea is never going to comply. Well, guess what? Well, we have not lost anything. If they don't comply, we are no worse off than we are right now.
So when you hear the left talk about capitulating to a dictator, the only capitulation is Trump being there. That there is no substantive capitulation to this country, to this dictator.
Yeah.
And for the other thing that kind of annoys me, Brian, about that situation is this capitulating to a dictator, working with a dictator. And I'm using air quotes because this is what the left likes to use, especially all the presidential candidates, as if the United States has not had productive conversations before in our foreign policy, having conversations with, again, dictators. What is the option? What is the option the left wants? Do they want to go to war? Is that the alternative for
them? And what's also curious with the left is how they treat the North Korea situation versus how they treat the Iran situation. Right. Because every argument and every criticism that they have of President Trump with what may or may not happen in North Korea is something that has happened with Iran.
Yes.
Where, you know, we set a treaty with them, you know, certainly questionable terms on that deal.
Questionable boats with
a treaty, but
pallets of cash.
and they're not complying at all. There's proof that they're not. And yet anything that happens in Iran is certainly, you know, President Trump is, you know, driving us to war. He's, you know, the he's using the drone being shot down as, you know, it's, you know, the wag the dog, tail wagging the dog. And it's pretty ridiculous. Also, you know, people are saying, well, I can't believe he actually entered North Korea. Here's what happened. Essentially, he stepped across a low concrete border marker and walked 20 paces to the base of a building on the North Korean side for, you know, a photo op.
Yeah.
And then they walked back and went into a room and you know, we don't know what happened in that room, obviously, but, you know, the president of South Korea was there as well. Yep. There's some interesting video of, you know, it got a little frantic when they were trying to enter the room and Sarah Huckabee Sanders' replacement was jostled.
Yes.
A bit, though, you know, she's saying it's certainly not a big deal. But, you know, this is something I'm extremely interested to see how it plays out. And how it came about was a tweet.
Yeah.
Which, that part, I don't love.
I am interested to see how it all kind of plays out as well. And I do think that there is just all sorts of contrived outrage again on the left. I cannot believe it. Keep in mind, and you know this, Brian, you've been in politics long enough, that these are the same people who are the code pink activists who are who are basically, they have run on anti-war platforms against Republican candidates before. And we really do have a president right now who has a dovish foreign policy mentality, a peace through strength mentality. And quite frankly, I think he's got to be careful in a place like Iran, too, because, you know, depending on what happens there, I think they're baiting him into making a pretty rash decision, foreign policy wise. And he's been pretty good.
All right, Max, we're gonna head to break. Please, we want to hear from you at 651-989-5855. You are listening to the Justice and Drew Show on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.
Now.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Justice and Drew Show. I am neither Justice nor Drew. I'm Brian McDaniel from the Wrong But Everything podcast. I am joined in studio by my co-host today, Max Reimer from Kip and Max Save the World.
I'm not Justice or Drew either.
No.
But we have something new and something special.
Oh, it's so special. Speaking of special, we have Brianne in the booth. It's going to be helping me out all week. And you were listening to us on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. And never forget that you can find us anywhere on the iHeart Radio app. We want to hear from you, 651-989-5855. So far, we have talked about our president's visit, little jaunt over to North Korea, which had historic ramifications as he is the first sitting American president to cross the point of no return on and walk over to the North Korean side of the DMZ, and reactions to that. And is President Trump the president of peace?
I think so.
As I think he would like us to think that, but you know, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, look at North Korea. You know, certainly look at what he's trying to do, you know, in the Middle East. You know, he is taking, you know, a relatively active role in trying to, you know, end, you know, centuries of conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see him do a little bit more, to be quite honest, because I do think that he has this mentality, and if this nationalistic mentality where it says America first, we want to take care of our people first, if that gets us out of some of these kind of seemingly unending conflicts, I'm okay with that. However, to me, the ends justify the means to a certain extent. So I would like to see even us pulling out of, you know, I know we still have troops in Afghanistan. There's still a military presence in Iraq, and really, these are wars that have gone on since I've been a kid. And for Trump to at least take steps and say, hey, there might be a peaceful solution in North Korea, I think it's a noble one. And again, we talked before the break, we're not sending $500 million in cash over to them to get something done. There is no political capitulation. He's just meeting with the leader of North Korea.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, at times, you know, he's referred to him as Rocket Man.
Yes.
Quite divisively. But then other times, you know, they're quite chummy. And, you know, I'm going to give, you know, as I've said on this show and others that I've been on, you know, I am more than critical of President Trump in a lot of ways. But, you know, it could be that he knows a little bit about how to manipulate, you know, Kim Jong Un a little bit and to pull out some sanctions from him, but pull out
well, to get him to make some concessions.
Yeah, sorry, I don't have all the words in my head this early in the morning.
I think you are seeing the art of the deal mentality.
Yeah, I think so too.
In everything Trump does, if you're noticing a pattern here, Trump throws out the most extreme, ridiculous thing as basically setting the standard. And by the way, we should all take lessons from him on this. Throw out the most ridiculous thing first and then work backwards. You know, so when he's talking about Rocket Man and his rocket is bigger and this, that, and the other thing.
Fire and fury, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Like but here we are at the negotiating table. Yep. It's funny how that works. There was a meme that I saw where when Obama visited the DMZ, it was basically behind a barricade with binoculars, you know, and they compared that to Donald Trump visiting the DMZ and actually taking the step over into North Korea. There was no barricade. There were no binoculars. It wasn't even like a military-looking thing. It was more or less right there.
And it's such an interesting juxtaposition because, you know, President Trump, you know, is seen as such a divisive force here at home. But, you know, he's a little bit of a uniter when it comes to our foreign policy. Now, people will point to Iran and, you know, say, oh, he's hurtling, he's tweeting us to war. But, you know, even there, you know, I think he is finding ways to make them have to deal with him. And you know, that's what he wants, you know, because he wants it. You know, he said, like with the Israeli-Palestine situation, he said, if peace doesn't happen during his presidency, it will never happen.
That's a bold statement. But we even have news on that front, right? There's news this morning that there's new peace talks between the Palestinians and Israel. And, you know, it feels like there's a lot of good things happening on the foreign policy front. And again, Donald Trump, if basically he doesn't want to get us into war to protect his nationalistic interest, which is our interest as well, I'm okay with it. I got to be honest. I really don't have the appetite. And I don't think most voters have the appetite for a war that we can't see.
No, and I think that is something that that the left, I think they, you know, they're remembering Republicans as the old war hawks. I don't think that we're that way anymore. I mean if you look at, you know, Afghanistan, if you look at Iraq and other places where we have troop mobilizations, I think the prevailing opinion is certainly that we want out of there.
Right.
We don't want our men and women to be put in harm's way in wars that we can't win for questionable, you know, strategic purposes.
Yeah, and I tend to think that the only Republicans who don't want that are Republicans who haven't learned their lesson from the Bush years, to be quite frank. I mean, because right, wrong, indifferent about the conflicts in Iraq or Afghanistan, it was not electorally beneficial after a certain period of time to Republicans. It took us a long time to recover from those conflicts. And you do have remnants of that mentality with the John Boltons of the world. Uh-huh. And John Bolton was sent to Mongolia while Donald Trump was in peace talks in North Korea. He brought Tucker Carlson with him instead.
Yeah, about that. So. Certainly. I remember in 2006, I was working at the House of Representatives, and, you know, the war was, you know, it was full-fledged then. And, you know, when we were campaigning and door-knocking, you know, at the door, we heard, get out of Iraq.
Yeah.
We heard, get out of Afghanistan. And then that fall, we heard, get out of the House of Representatives because we lost the majority with the Republicans, and I lost my job. So
Based on a national war.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Well, once upon a time, they said all politics is local, and I think that it is very much the opposite right now. Certainly, you can tell by the big midterm Democrat and DFL gains that happened here in Minnesota, that that what's happening on the national stage is driving not only voter turnout but voter results here in Minnesota.
Listen, I knew all politics were national when helping with the Edina school board race, and you had the more conservative Edina school board candidates being called neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
For being conservative.
Well, and let's segue a little bit to some strife back home, where in Portland, our good friends at Antifa are back at their illegal assaulting ways, where they took issue with conservative journalist Andy Ngo, who writes for the online magazine Quillette, which I was not familiar with before.
Gay Asian man, by the way.
During Pride Month, where he was targeted. He was physically assaulted with some pretty serious injuries. He, doing air quotes, which are so effective on the radio.
Yes.
He was milkshaked, which, you know, if you're not familiar with what that is, you might think, oh, well, you know, they threw a milkshake at him. You know, clean yourself up and move along. But that's not what it is. A milkshake contains quick drying cement.
What a warped world we live in.
Uh-huh. And if anyone, you know, knows anything about that, if you get that on your skin, if it hardens, it burns is what it does.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that's what concrete does, but that's what it does. So the, and you would assume that this would be a huge backlash on Antifa, and that there would be just, you know, national outrage at what they're doing, injuring journalists. But they're not, it's not exactly what happened.
Seems to be met with a kind of a collective yawn, and then at worst, journalists, it's this weird gaslighting, abusive thing where there are journalists actually saying that because Andy Ngo, who is a conservative journalist by all accounts,
yeah,
his speech is violence and it's hate speech, so it deserves milkshaking. Like, he deserves to be assaulted. And by the way, you can look up pictures. Google Andy Ngo, G-N-O, I think is how his last name is.
N-G-O.
Okay, yeah. And it's bad. Like, some serious damage
was done to this guy. Yeah, there was serious damage. And Charlotte Clymer, who is the press secretary for the Human Rights Campaign, she tweeted, Andy Ngo intentionally provokes people on the left to drive his content. Being attacked today on video, taken by an actual journalist, because Ngo is definitely not, is the greatest thing that could have happened to his career. You know it. I know it. He knows it. We all know it. So this is essentially saying that he deserved it.
Yes.
And that he welcomed it because now, you know, programs such as ours are talking about them. And, you know, this is not that far away from saying, well, you know, she dressed provocatively, so she was asking for it. That's
right.
That's, you know, certainly a harsh comparison, but one that is a little apropos with the facts.
Yeah, and it seems to be more of a mainstream response than you would like to even hope that it would be. And I will tell you, another kind of really disturbing thing is Keith Ellison, our current attorney general, he had taken a picture as he was running for attorney general or before that, as he was a sitting representative, with the anti-fascist book in his hand. And he tweeted about it. He said, this is basically how we save the Republic. And he had an Antifa book in his hand. He deleted that tweet.
Yeah.
3 days ago.
Just 3 days
ago? Just 3 days ago.
Huh.
So it's funny to me because Antifa, I think, is finally having its violence covered, at least. Because, again, not to excuse Donald Trump's there were good guys on both sides type of comment, but these are violent people and they are causing political violence, and they have been for as long as they've existed. They are terrible people. It's a terrible group. And again, to actually defend them is beyond even comprehension.
Well, and let's give a little bit of credit where credit is due. Jake Tapper from CNN did come out quite strongly defending Andy Ngo as a journalist, and you know, very harshly condemned the Antifa.
He's the only one.
Tactics, but he has been the only one that I've seen. Now, I'm sure that there have been more, but as far as you know, what we have seen, you know, he is really the only high profile person that I've seen take issue with this. Has anyone out there heard anything different? We want to hear from you. 651-989-5855. So please give us a call to talk about any of the topics that we are talking about today. You had said on a different topic, the ends justify the means. And, you know, that's something that, you know, is a pretty common phrase. And one of the scary things when you look at Antifa and what happened with Andy Ngo and numerous other instances throughout the United States is that the radical left, and this is certainly not everybody's, you know, DFL, you know, voting grandma and whatnot. This is, of course, the far edge of the progressive movement. But there is a little bit of a the end justifies the means mentality, and that they feel as though there is nothing that they, anything that they do to go against the president or against, you know, the conservative establishment is justified,
right?
Because you know the right is evil.
Yes, and speech is violence. That's where when you mix that up, when you say speech is violence, and then responding to speech, violence needs to be met with violence. Mm-hmm. That's how they justify throwing bricks and throwing milkshakes filled with easy dry cement and everything else that they do, especially. And again, Portland is a special case. Portland can basically be annexed from the United States, and I don't think we would lose much. But, you know, when you talk about speech is violence, so violence can only be stopped with violence. That's how they justify this stuff.
So yeah, Portland will be known for two things, you know, fantastic infrastructure and violent yes. violence, Antifa protests. It's something that as we see our country being further divided and that the voices that you hear being on, you know, the far right or the far left, that drives everyone, drives political people into their silos and drives regular people away from the process. We have to find a way to get more reasonable discourse between the right and left in Minnesota. One of the ways I would do that is tell you to listen to the Wrong About Everything podcast, because that's the whole purpose of our podcast. But, you know, the just bringing it back to President Trump in North Korea, you know, seeing how he is able to bridge the divide, literally bridge the divide between North and South Korea. I'd like to see him come to America and find a way to kind of get the left and right, you know, talking in a much more productive manner. That's not happening right now. And, you know, maybe that's just me being very Pollyanna-ish as we are now, you know, barreling towards the 2020 election, which is going to be where the rhetoric is going to be hyped up all the more. But, you know, at some point in time, you know, we have to figure out a way to become Americans again, not just Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and progressives.
Listen, this is going to sound really extreme. I think that Trump would have better luck in North Korea than he would in Portland, because there are people that, basically, an entire demographic of people only exist and only live their lives under the umbrella of I hate Donald Trump yep. and I will do anything to stop him. So, like, bridging the divide, in some ways, sure, it's incumbent on Donald Trump, but in other ways, there's nothing that he could do or say or present to people to make it happen. I got to be honest.
Well, I guess I'd like to see him talk maybe to the middle a little bit more. We are due for a break. You are listening to Brian McDaniel and Max Reimer on the Justice and Drew Show. We want to hear from you. 651-989-5855. You're listening to us on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5.